Congregation, this morning we wish to ponder the first four verses of 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3, 1, 2, 3, 4, let us read them. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? So far. The theme for this morning is spiritual infancy. Infancy, I could say it also in a more simple way, spiritual babies. Infancy, spiritual infancy. Three thoughts: infants in knowledge, or say babies in knowledge. Secondly, infants in faith. And in the third place, infants in holiness. Spiritual infancy, infants in knowledge. Secondly, infants in faith. And in the third place, infants in holiness. Congregation, there's nothing wrong with being a baby, right? We love babies. So tender, so small, so vulnerable, a gift from God. Oh, may the Lord give also life when they're born. Precious gifts of God, so dependent and so precious, their first smile, and they cannot do much on their own. They cannot remember much and retain much, but oh, how precious those little bundles of love. Promising. And we know they need milk, right? You don't give them steak. You don't give them a hamburger. They need milk. And they drink it. And they need it. And they grow fast, and they enjoy it. They have no teeth yet. They can't chew things. And we wait, and when they're a few months older, we mash the potatoes, and we mash the vegetables, and we give them a little bit of applesauce, a little bit of milk, a little bit of meat, and slowly they get used to meat and to bread and a sandwich and cheese and you name it. Now suppose that someone will be 20 years old and still only drink milk. That will be strange, right? And yet, we read in the Bible of that possibility. That people after years are still babies. In a spiritual sense, God's children sometimes don't grow up so fast as they should. And I don't want to be too personal, but I'm also human, so I think of my father. I think for a long time he was a baby. For a long time. He had so much doubts and questions, and he was drinking the milk. And he died with saying a few hours before he died in Psalm 27, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. It was a precious text to him. And he yet was able to quote that text. Wait upon the Lord. In a sense, He had not much assurance, but he loved the Lord Jesus and was always busy with those things. So he did not grow up, I have to say, so fast. But the most important thing is to be a child, right? To be a child, that's the first thing. Because people so easily say, oh, that's a child, that's a baby in Christ, he's spiritually young, you can't expect so much. Yes, but we need to be born again in the first place. We need that life in the soul. So our children are born again. And are starting with infancy, spiritual infancy. And yet they should not remain children, but grow up. And not act as children, and think as children, and behave as children, but need more. And in between, some people also among us don't grow up, right? When people have special needs, in a sense, they don't grow up. And we empathize with them, we love them. But in a spiritual sense, if people are spiritually retarded and behind, that's not good. It shouldn't be. Although the Lord is free, not? The Lord is free to give one more than the other. That's right. The Lord is also free to give the one conversion, not the other. But that we still have the responsibility to grow. So we read in our text, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes." Even as unto babes in Christ. So he says, brethren. And I, brethren, he is talking to God's people. To God's people not growing up. To God's people, yeah, being babes. But at least they're God's people. He says, brethren, in the same family. He loved them. He felt connected with the congregation. He did not hate them. He did not rebuke them in a sense. And I, brethren, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. They are spiritual, and they have life, and they are God's people, but he could not speak unto them in a spiritual sense, because they could not digest it. But as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. We see that example more often in the Bible. And it's even possible, what's not possible, well, maybe when people are healthy and sound and grow up, at the end of their lives, maybe they go downhill and there is dementia at the end of the life. Happens, right? Alzheimer's, and they don't remember things and they go backwards. Well, that's also possible in spiritual sense, that people are growing up spiritually and that they have times that goes downhill again. And that they go backwards. And that they become fleshy. And that they become children again. But let me show you a few verses from the Bible. Already in the Old Testament, in Hosea 11, we read about this. That the people of Israel are compared to a child. A child the Lord loved, a child in Egypt, and the Lord took the child and took their hands and said, I lead you through the desert and I lead you to the promised land. Hosea 11, when Israel was a child, then I loved him and I called my son out of Egypt. I taught Ephraim also to go, taking them by their arms. But they knew not that I healed them. So it is possible that people are led by the Holy Spirit and that they walk in the Lord's ways and that they are little children. Or think of 1 Corinthians 13. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I fought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. So that's normal also in spiritual life, that we at first speak and understand and think and behave as a child, but then later on we grow up and we mature. So the Apostle Paul is talking about milk. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. You know, the Apostle Paul is saying this. You as a congregation, he talked about the Corinthians, you have criticized me that my sermons were too simple. There was not deep enough. But you know what? You know why I preach in such a simple way? Because you're children. You have not grown up. So you could not even understand it if I would go deeper. So that's why. Brethren, I could not speak unto you as spiritual. Because you are not spiritual. You're babes. So that's why. You're babes in Christ. And because you're babes in Christ, I have to feed you with milk. So you may ask, but what is that milk? What is it? Well, it in the first place has to do with understanding. Understanding. It's the milk of the Word of God. It's the milk the Lord gives, and therefore God's children receive spiritual insight. And knowledge, it's factual, it's doctrinal, it's a message. Faith is by hearing, and that hearing is important. And I know even the most mature children of the Lord are still infants. I know still the God's children who have been led the furthest are still little ones compared to what some of God's people know in heaven. Now it is through a glass darkly, kind of faint, kind of foggy, kind of, what is it? They have a little insight into the truth. But what will it be if the veil will be taken off? And God's children will be in heaven, and then they'll come to full maturity right in heaven. There's no glass darkly to look through, then they will see God. They will be with the Lord Jesus Christ. They will have everything their heart desires. It will be fulfilled and satisfied, seeing the image of God. But yet, on earth, there is a difference as well. Some of God's children have little knowledge, and others have more. How is it that ye do not understand, the Lord Jesus said, that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? The people did not understand the Lord Jesus. He spoke about the leaven of the Pharisees, and they didn't get it. Even God's people. One of those examples of lack of knowledge is in the life of the Apostle Peter. You know, he had said, thou art the Son of the living God. Right? Who do the people say that I am? Oh, the one says this, and the other one says that. But who do you say that I am? And the Apostle Peter worded it so beautifully for all of them. Thou art the Christ. He knew that. The Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of the living God. And the Lord said, flesh and blood have not revealed it unto you, but my Father. Because he reveals it to babes. That Peter. Listened also to the message of the Lord Jesus that he would die. that he will be delivered into the hands of evil men and be crucified. And the apostle Peter said, what? That's not going to happen. I won't let it happen. I'd rather die. Then Peter took the Lord Jesus, and he began to rebuke the Lord Jesus, to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, this shall not be unto thee. So he loved the Lord Jesus. He was the Son of the living God, but he did not have to die. That's ridiculous. That there was no place for that. And it's still possible that God's children know something of Jesus. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that they are still babes in knowledge, still infants in a spiritual sense, and don't grasp the truth, and don't think it necessary that the wrath of God comes down on the Messiah. They just don't see it, don't feel it. There's no room for that. It's even possible that God's children come to the Lord's Supper table and have something in them of that waiting upon the Lord more than they that watch for the morning, and that they have some insight into the Savior, Jesus Christ, but yet don't understand much of this is my body that's broken for you. That they are yet, in a spiritual sense, infants and babes, and don't go so deep yet. Or think of those two men traveling to Emmaus and talking to that stranger that came alongside and was asking them, what happened to you and why do you look so sad? And they explained it unto him. We trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel, and beside all this, today is the third day since these things are done. We don't understand it, and there are still some ladies, and they say that he rose from the dead, and so confused, such babies. They should have known. They were given that meat, and they're not able to digest it. And the Lord had to say unto them, O ye fools, and slow of heart to understand. See? Slow to understand. So it is possible that God's children know something. Well, they do, right? They all know things. They know something about their sins. They know about the fall. They know about the unworthiness of life. They know the Lord could pass them by. No, we're without pardoning them. That the Lord is free. They know that. They don't feel that they deserve grace at all. At all. And yet the Lord surprises them with the gospel. And they see something of that possibility outside of self in another, in the Savior. And they see something of, for example, the name Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. But that does not mean that they know much. They can still be such infants. Like Mary Magdalene. Then she runneth and comes to Simon Peter and to the other apostle whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. So confused, not being able to give it over and to trust, they did not know those things too well. So there is milk and meat. Now, what is milk and what is meat? Do we say that we actually need two types of classes in church? That we have children and adults? and that the spiritual ones receive milk and the advanced ones receive meat. So what is the difference between meat and milk? I wouldn't say so. They're not two different gospels. The meat gospel and the milk gospel, the meat message and the milk message, it's one message, not? The two gospels, milk gospel and meat gospel, there's only one gospel. But what's happening is this. A little one may taste something and yet not take all the nutrition out of it, has a little understanding, and not much experience of it. You know, we see it, for example, how people have experienced the birth of Christ. For some, that has been so special, right? For the shepherds, and with joy they left, and they had seen the Savior born in Bethlehem. So they loved him. And for others, like for Simeon, who a couple weeks later also, rejoice now, lettest thou thy servant go in peace, because my eyes have seen thy salvation. You know, the one gets more out of it than the other. The same message is milk for the one and meat for the other. Because there are more details, maybe, that's possible. The Apostle Paul writes in Hebrews 5 also about infancy, and there connects it to a deeper insight, into more detailed insight. When you read the Hebrews, the letter to the Hebrews, you see all those details about the high priest and the sacrifices, and you say, that goes so deep. That is for mature ones. That's right. So it's more detailed. And yet that same detailed message can be milk for the one and can be meat for the other. But it's not only the details. It's also the experience of it. For example, the cross of Christ. For the one, the cross can be so special. Seeing that someone had died for them, to save them. And it can be a real joy, and yet not so deep yet. And for someone else who experienced that he should be cut off from the land of the living and felt the curse on him, the load of sin on his back, have felt, I have to be crucified, and I should be slain, and I am unworthy of the least of God's blessings. Well, they all experience that. But you know, if there's a deeper understanding of that, that same cross is for the one milk and nourishing milk, and for the other, more detailed, but also in experience, more. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. So the Apostle Paul says, I have brought you the basics of the gospel and what you should understand. I read in Hebrews 5, verse 12 through 14. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, again, for when for the time, after so many years of have been taught, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, you have been exposed to the truth and all the details, you should have been teachers. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again. So the Apostle Paul writes in Hebrews 5 to the people that they by now should have been teachers, and they need to be in the class themselves, and someone else needs to teach them again. Which be the first principles of the oracles of God. So he's saying you should have been teachers, but now you are students again. And I teach you the first principles of the oracles of God. I go back to the course 101. I go back to the beginning. So for the time you are to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and I become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word. He's unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. See? That's kind of included in our text as well. Being a babe means lack of understanding and falling back into those first principles of the oracles of God. You should have been teachers by now. How old are you? How many years are you on the road? Maybe 20, 40 years. You should have been teachers. You fall back into those old patterns and become as having need of milk again. So that milk, I said, is especially the word of God. 1 Peter 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire, that's a command, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Have they not tasted that the Lord is gracious? They tasted it. Not only believed it and accepted it, but they understood it and they tasted experientially of the word of the living God, that sincere, that spiritual milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. That's the purpose of reading the word and meditating upon the scriptures and going to church, that God's people would grow thereby and would drink that milk and receive more of that meat and grow in the knowledge and in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you a child? Are you a babe? Are you an infant in grace? Have things changed? You cannot deny that. You cannot deny that you are slain and hungry and thirsty. You had to drink, and you cannot deny that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And then he had fallen back again as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. The gospel of grace. So in a sense, all God's children are children, and yet there is a difference. I write unto you little children, he is talking to the whole congregation in 1 John. Arise unto little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. So is there enough spending with the book of the living God? If God's children don't study the Bible themselves, they will remain babes. And they can still be God's people, but they don't grow up. And that's not to the glory of God. Infants in knowledge. Let's go to the second thought. Infants in faith. You know, I like the last two words of verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. So they're babes, but at least in Christ. They are babes in Christ, but at least they are. They understand something of Christ. They are in Christ, babes in Christ, not adults in Christ, but they are at least in Christ. That's all it counts. Of course, I'm thinking of death a lot now the last couple of days. We saw it coming. But it's all that counts, to be in Christ. A babe that should maybe be an adult, but at least in Christ. To be for his account. To be chosen in him. To be paid for by him. By his blood, that he is precious to us. The trusting in him. The relying on him. Him being revealed unto our understanding. You know, God's children so often fall back into not trusting. Because it's not only knowledge, it's also trusting, believing. It's just connected. You know those examples, don't you? Children as well. Therefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? So the Lord is addressing the disciples, his own children, we're saying, O ye of little faith. So it happens that God's people, who are in Christ, are babes in Christ. And have little of that, relying on him. They had it, and they in a way have it, but it can be so dim and so dark and so little. Oh, ye of little faith. The little ones have faith. There is still faith, but little faith. And when they have little faith, you sometimes wonder, is there grace? Why are they so doubtful and fearful? And I'm not defending that. But it happens. Oh, ye of little faith, think of the disciples in the storm on the Sea of Galilee. Oh, we perish, they cry, we perish. And Jesus on board. And he saith unto them, why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. See? Little faith. Oh, why? Why are ye so fearful? Why are you still babes in believing, in trusting? Oh, ye of little faith, why are you so fearful? Oh, ye of little faith. The Lord Jesus rebuked his own disciples and he said, you are mine. You have faith. I'm your savior, but I'm disappointed. You have such little faith. You're still babes. And the Apostle Peter was walking on the sea, on the water, and he started sinking. And he looked at the waves and the circumstances. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Wherefore didst thou doubt? You don't have to. Why? And remember the Bible story, children, of the lunatic boy. Oh, he was throwing himself in the fire, in the water, and almost killed himself. And the devil kind of vexed him, occupied him, and his father was so concerned. And he brought his son to the disciples, because Lord Jesus was not present at the time, and the disciples could not help him. And he was so sad. And then the Lord Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration and rebuked his disciples. Then Jesus answered and said to the disciples, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring them hither to me. So the Lord Jesus knows how to deal with that unbelief, with those doubts. And think of Thomas, right? Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hands and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. Be not faithless, but believing. So are you a babe? And you look at those circumstances, and there's no trusting, but there's just so much fear and anxiety. Do you know, listen to that. And be not faithless, but believing. And if you don't know of those things, open the word and understand it, realize it, that we have departed from God, and the Lord is preaching a Savior who is able and willing to save. Oh, may your eyes be opened for that, to trust, to repent, and to trust in Him. You know, sometimes God's people feel more distant, right? Just don't feel so close all the time. In order to let His people grow up. So sometimes God's people feel darkness. There's no light. And children are often afraid in the dark, right? It's too dark. Please, switch on the light. It's so dark, I'm scared. But now to be an adult and not be so scared in the dark, that's also true in the spiritual sense. Even in this dark. Not being so afraid. Why not? Because I read in Isaiah 50, who is among you that fear the Lord and that obeyeth the voice of his servant that walketh in darkness and has no light. And then let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. So that's also infancy, to not trust. For time, eternity, for body and soul, for now and forever, in all circumstances. So what is needed for that reason? To not be a babe in Christ, but to be mature in Christ, to be rooted in Christ, to be rooted in him. I read in Job 22, verse 21, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Acquaint now thyself with him. I studied that a little bit this week. Be friends with him. Be intimate with him. Dwell upon him. Familiarize yourself with him. Meditate on him. You know, if you're close to someone, you're used to someone, you're acquainted with that person. You say, I know the person very well. We talked every day. One of my sisters is single, and she talked every day to my parents. Every day at night. She was the closest to my parents, I suppose. So now to acquaint thyself with him, with Christ, to be at peace. In some doctrines, in some churches, maybe, they say when you're justified, when you're forgiven, when you're a child of God, you don't have to worry about your sins anymore and about forgiveness anymore. And you just live a holy life now. You are past the cross. You pass the cross. No. No, acquaint now thyself with that cross more and more. And don't pass it. And don't say, I passed that station and that level. I'm now in another course. No, that stays. Acquaint thou thyself with him, with God, with Christ. Also in times of darkness. And yet, although the Lord says, acquaint thou thyself and be not faithless, but be not doubting, and there's responsibility and rebuke, yet the Lord is also free, no? So when some of God's people don't grow up, the reason of that is themselves. But when God's children may advance a little bit and grow up in that knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's God's gift, not? It's God's gift. Those three disciples that were close to the Lord Jesus and with him in the Garden of Gethsemane, a little closer, and on the Mount of Transfiguration, was God's choice. And so the Lord has sometimes people he has chosen to be closer to him. But that being said, yet it's not right to remain a babe in Christ. Brings to the third thought. Infants in holiness, first he's saying. Infants in holiness. The Apostle Paul writes in a certain context, there are divisions in the church. There's strife. There are hard feelings. And there are parties, sections in the church. One says, I'm for Apollos. And another says, no, I prefer Paul. And others see us. So there's tension. And Apostle Paul was concerned about that. He said something like this. He said, you know, it's not about us as ministers. The one prefers this minister, the other one that minister. But it's not about us. We're united. We are not the CEOs of the church. We are servants. We are ministers. Verse 5 was not in our text, but let me yet quote it. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed? So the Apostle Paul is saying your strife and your fights have influence on your spiritual life. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto the babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it. Why not? Not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able to bear it. For the reason, for ye are yet carnal. Carnal or fleshy. A carnivore is an animal that eats meat, is a meat eater. Carnus, carnal, is meat. And the word is also used for fleshy, human weakness, sinfulness even. So, for ye are yet carnal? I thought God's people were not carnal at all anymore. They were delivered from that carnal heart, that heart of flesh. No, the heart of stone. And they have a heart of flesh, but flesh in the positive sense. Impressible. But in this case, flesh is negative. You are yet fleshy and yet carnal. For whereas there are among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal? So let me just make it more practical. I don't think in the church now it might be too bad, that strife and that carnality. But what about your family? What about your marriage? What about other siblings? If there is strife and envying and jealousy and hard feelings and unforgiveness, it stands in the way. Then you need milk. Then you're not growing up. It will affect your assurance, God's people. It will affect you tremendously. It's not right. It's something you will experience the bitter consequences from. So let's go back to that 1 Peter 2 about the sincere milk and put it in context. Look at the beginning of 1 Peter 2. Therefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. So he doesn't only say you need to drink milk to grow, but he combines that. He says, laying aside all malice, guile, hypocrisies, envy, evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk. If you desire the sincere milk, if you would like to grow thereby, you have to just also think of holiness and of walking the Lord's ways, because it doesn't match otherwise. It's not working. So some of God's people are still drinking milk are still carnal, are still babes, because there's so much disagreement and fighting going on. It's possible. It goes together. So read it for yourself, that combination, 1 Peter 2, and read it here, right? You're carnal. I have fed you with milk, not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, not able to bear the meat, to digest the meat, for ye are carnal, and the strife and envying. Or think also of Hebrews 5 in a different context. I've quoted the text before as well, but maybe we forgot a few words. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So strong meat, for who? For them that have matured of full age. And tell me more about those people. Who by reason of use have the senses exercised. The senses exercised to discern both good and evil. They're precise. They say, I don't want to sin. They have crucified more the old nature, and therefore they are more able to eat the strong meat. So if a child of God is not growing up and there's lots of doubting and they are still God's people, okay, what is often one of the reasons why they don't grow up? Fighting. So when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. And that's necessary to rid yourself of that. So assurance is connected to this. In faith itself, in the exercise of faith, there is no doubt, right? Because if someone truly believes, and if it's alive and in exercise, you trust him. Nobody tell me, I trust him. But there is still so much unbelief in the heart of God's people left. So, being certain of him, but not so certain of myself, and still doubts. So, if there is something that's holding you up, if something that's standing in the way, if it's another sin, maybe something else than this. And many sins that can be in the way. If God's children don't fight unto blood. Now, some have said there are two types of Christians. Carnal Christians and not carnal Christians. I don't believe that. There are no two classes. But some of God's people are more carnal than others are less holy than others are. That's correct. So, how do you see in church now under this? And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Maybe you're not even like that. Maybe even not a babe. Maybe you're dead. in sins and trespasses, no life whatsoever. So you can't grow either. So open that word to the living God. And realize there's milk. And realize that there's a God who can save you and can give you that grace. And to flee unto him with all your sins and seek salvation in another. And don't try to qualify in any way. Come with your baggage, with your garbage, with your sins unto him, seeking salvation in Christ. To become a babe in Christ. And then to also grow up. Oh, may that be for God's glory and for God's honor. So the Apostle Paul doesn't like it that people favor him over others. He said, no, I don't need that. I want to be a servant. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? It's carnality. He has no use for that. Or may the Lord give that type of unity, of humble unity, of being together to belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he may dwell in the hearts, and that we may grow thereby, by that word of the living God. Because faith is by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen.